to all you people back in the Shire. Turn your porch lights off because we're coming home with a trophy.
Hey there, welcome to Sharkcast Pod, a podcast dedicated to the greatest sporting club in the history of the world, the mighty Cronulla Sutherland Sharks. This show is brought to you by Dyson Logistics, the Royal Motor Yacht Club in Port Hacking, and Jason Hawes at Cripps and Cripps Real Estate. My name is Sam Shinazi, an OG from 2015. I am pleased to be here with you this week. Joining me on the other end of the communication line is a great man, a Sharks fanatic, and just someone I'm blessed to have in my life. His name is Joshua Bolling. Josh, how you going, my friend?
Very good, mate. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for asking. We're just going to hop straight into this because we've got a lot to get through, Josh, and most of it is pretty disappointing. Maybe that's a bit dramatic. But the Sharkies lost 30 points to 10 against Canberra in Magic Round at Suncorp Stadium. We are now in equal fourth but fifth position. We've now gone win-loss since round five. It was our biggest loss since round nine last year. We've won just one of our past six games at Suncorp. Canberra now own us. That's eight straight wins. And something we might talk about during the pod, Josh, we had 60 tackles in the opposition 20, the most for any team this season, and only managed 10 points. Let me start out with the big question of the week. Did Craig Fitzgibbon get it wrong moving Nicho Hynes, or was it circumstantial to an extent?
I think hindsight, it was obviously the wrong call, but I probably agreed with it at the start of last week, so I can see why he did it. But I mean, hindsight is a beautiful thing. It definitely looked a lot clunkier than it has in previous weeks. So I think he did get it wrong. Yeah, probably.
In the press conference, he said something akin to, "I thought he would play a bit better." Now that's my words paraphrasing, but that was the vibe I got. And talking to a few people down at the club this week, the vibe was he didn't quite play the role that they wanted him to play. So it went wrong for different reasons. And I think there is a portion of blame being put on Nicho. The public perception, they're putting a lot of blame on the number seven, the young number seven, Trindle, which we will get into, of course, in this episode. But I'm with you. In hindsight is a beautiful thing. But last week, it seemed like the logical move because Nicho has played great at fullback. Trindle can play at halfback, and the guys waiting in the wings at fullback may or may not be ready. So I completely agreed with the move. We've seen this week, and it's no spoiler, that there's a bit of change there already. So people say it was Craig Fitzgibbon's first big error for the club, and in hindsight it kind of was, but that's why I used the word circumstantial at the start of the question, Josh, because it's not black and white for me.
No, and people saying it's Fitz's first big mistake and all that sort of thing. Like at the end of the day, Nicho was the one that played poorly, right? You know, it's not – if you play well and, you know, Fitz gets all the credit saying it was a great move to put him back there and all that sort of thing. And, like, he didn't play well. If he played well, it doesn't matter. We'll probably win. But, like, I mean, it wasn't – he's not alone in that. I mean, there was a lot of pretty poor players on the weekend. I'm sure we'll get into that later, but – you know, he's not going to be 10 out of 10 every week. We've got to understand that. It's a new team. It's a new coach. Like, I think we've got to temper expectations somewhat, and I'm guilty of that as anyone.
My hand's up too.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fairly young side, and I think we just got to – I think some of the people are losing their cool a lot. I think we need to just bring that back in a little bit.
Yeah, and you're right. Like, the entire team, maybe aside from Royce Hunt, played pretty poorly, and – that was a group effort in stinking it up. It wasn't the halfback and the fullback on their own. It's not like everyone else was outstanding and those guys lost us the game. Yeah. That's where the blame game gets a bit weird for me because there's so much more that goes into it. If you disagree with what Fitzgibbon did, absolutely. And in hindsight, you're proven right. But not necessarily why we lost, correct?
Mm-hmm, for sure. I mean, I will say that I thought there was a select few that probably could hold their head up high. Not me. I mean, I thought Ronaldo tried his guts out,
mm-hmm.
And that reflects in his stats. And I thought, again, McInnes didn't put many steps wrong. I thought, he really tried hard and had a fairly good game, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But besides that, you look across the board, like who really had a good game. Rudolph missed six tackles. He was really poor for mine on the weekend.
For me, the pack, and probably aside from Royce Hunt, and don't get me wrong, he wasn't lights out, but at least he was having a crack. But the pack was really disappointing, and that's where you win the games, with your pack. And we were out-muscled, and I mean, there was a few whispers around the club after the game that they were feeling the effects from the week before with the 11/12-man effort. But that's a week to recover.
Yeah.
And they're not publicly going to say that because it's a cheap way out. But there were a few players mentioning it, how tired they felt. I don't know how many times you can use that one. That's the second time some players have said that.
Yeah, we've heard that a couple times now. Yeah.
And ironically, we played against 12 men three times in this match. I mean, that's the rugby league gods messing around with you. I found that very, very interesting that was our scenario a week later.
I mean, you could feel once that first Simbem went off, I was like, oh no, they're going to do a Sharks. They're going to do what we did last. So I could just, I don't know. I just knew once that Simbem went off, I knew we weren't going to win. I don't know what happened. Like, it just was one of those things.
You look at our stats and they don't read awful in some sections. We had more line breaks. We had more offloads. We had more run meters. Only slightly more missed tackles. Double the errors. Less kick meters. But tackled in opposition 20, 61-19. That's where you know that we were clunky in attack, because usually it doesn't take us long to crack that line, and we barely did it on the weekend at Magic Round.
No, there was a stat somewhere I read on the Twitter world that we were quite good in that area of tackles per try and all that sort of thing, and that just blew that out of the water, didn't it? It just was super frustrating to watch, because you could tell that they were frustrated as well watching them. You could just see it wasn't happening. Nico, there's a bit of a, not an issue I'm watching with him, but I feel like when things are going against him, he definitely overplays his hand, but in terms of running the ball too much. When he feels the pressure and when he feels the side isn't working, he can tend to become a little bit of a hog.
Yeah.
And takes one too many runs and dies with the ball a lot. And I think that's something we need to look at, because I don't know, the amount of times that our halves ran the ball, and just because nothing was on the shape, obviously the shape outside of them wasn't good.
Mm.
And so that, Trindle, I don't know how many times, ducked back inside to just get poleaxed by their second rowers. Lost count, really.
Yeah, we lost Dale Finucan in the second half with a significant injury to his knee, and unfortunately a concussion as well. It's his fourth concussion in a short amount of time. Jack Williams got a significant injury as well. They're both out for probably 4 to 6 weeks. That messed with us in the second half, but by that time, I mean, the game wasn't over, but they were ahead by a fair bit. So we can't use that as an excuse. It is a problem moving forward, which we'll get into another time. Sione Katoa had an unhappy first half. It's very unlike him. The sun did not help. And, I mean, he needs to do better, but I felt pretty bad for him because he's not that kind of player these days.
No, that was probably that's probably his worst game in honestly maybe 2 years. Like, he has not had a hell of that in a long time. So you can forgive him. Like, at the end of the day, like, you just have those games sometimes. Like, not an excuse. I'm not excusing the performance or anything, but tell me the last time Sione genuinely had a shocker like that, and I'll
I mean, his second half was a lot better anyway once he got out of that sunlight. So
yeah, and he was still trying, which is a good thing. Like, he still had a crack, and when he gets behind the game like that, sometimes his efforts in defense are his makeup ability, and he was really trying in defense. Like, he was rushing out of the line and trying to shut down things. So
yeah, I don't think anyone on the team gave up by any means, but it just wasn't happening, and it was frustrating for them, frustrating for the fans. A lot of fans went up there for Magic Round, so that was unfortunate timing. We have a letter about it later on, but I thought Blake Braley needed to step up a bit more given what was going on, and he didn't. It's not to say he played bad. He just was a bit ineffective. But Yeah, a lot of the guys were just off. I thought Teague was off a little bit, which will happen with a younger player from time to time. But as a team, it just didn't gel. What did you make of Wade Graham? He played a few more minutes this time around.
I don't know about Wade. I'm really like conflicted about this because I thought his Warriors game was pretty good. I think in the middle, doing that role. And then again, he just seems so ineffective to me on the field. I know it's a pretty like harsh call, but he was playing that link man, the McInnes role, and it just didn't work for me. It just seemed a bit slow and everything was a little passive. And I know he was trying again, like I'm going to say that for everyone, like they're all trying, but just wasn't. And I might, we'll get to it later with him being now selected over Teague to start. Like, I don't know, man.
We will get to
that. I'm worried.
Yeah, you should be. What did you think of our forward pack against theirs? Was it as one-sided as it looked to me?
Oh, yeah, it was borderline horrendous, to be honest. Like, I was really... And the forward pack has been a bit of an issue. If we have an issue in this side, it is our forward pack, I think. And it's like, you look at the numbers like Toby, 14 runs for 106. That's not really good at all.
No.
Really. Six tackles missed. Like, that's the issue there, you know, in the middle. Teague missed four tackles. McInnes missed three. He never misses a tackle. He missed three. All our meters were down. Like, all our backs meters were fine. But, like, you know, we didn't get anything out of our halves in running wise. None of our forwards cracked 100 meters except for McInnes. Yeah, like, just really soft.
I thought with the halves, it was a little bit undefined. It looked to me like they went to Matt Moylan on the fifth to kick more than what I would probably like.
Yeah.
Whereas he's your just attacking gun. Give it to him when you want to create something out of that. And I would let Trindle run the show. And it was a little bit conflicting there, I thought. It was just as a fan, I was getting mixed messages as to who was doing what. And with Nico at fullback, yeah, I guess we thought he would play, as strange as it is to say, more of a halfback role in attack. But he was sort of trying to do everything, as you've hinted at. Didn't go too well. Is there any positives out of the game you can think of?
The positive is that the effort was there for the 80 minutes. Even though it wasn't working and we were quite poor, they never stopped trying, which I like that in my teams. Like, of course. You don't have to win every game, but if you keep trying and the effort's there to the 80th minute, I can live with that. And that I saw that, and we didn't see that 2 years ago. We saw a side that gave up 2 years ago when things got like this. That probably ends up 40 plus. That was fine. Like, I can live with that. Sometimes you're not the team on the day to win. And Canberra obviously had a lot to prove. They've had a lot of, you know, stick in the media, and they're not where they should be on the ladder, and they have the wood over us. I think they know that. I think they targeted our forward pack knowing that theirs was better. I mean, Tolman was just getting absolutely rinsed from their forward pack. He was so ineffective.
Yeah.
And I'm a big fan of Tolles, but
yeah,
every time he got the ball, someone was in his face because he's just not mobile enough. And you know, it was tough to watch, actually.
I think in hindsight, I mean, one of my roles in my day gig is to review things. And watching the game closely back, the majority of their tries were pretty soft. Like, they weren't necessarily problems we have in defense. I think there was one maybe towards the end where it was through the middle and we should have done better. But tries from kicks, tries from close range, intercept try. Yeah. Like, it wasn't like our defense just gave up or collapsed or the systems didn't work. I think it was more just, you know, errors and discipline that kind of cost us, and you can fix that. So that was my positive out of the game, that it probably wasn't as bad as far as tactics and skill. We weren't as bad as what the scoreline was suggesting.
No, I think an issue with this team at the moment is just that slight inconsistency on overall performance. Whereas, like, what I mean is, it seems when we play well that everyone across the board is playing well. Like last week against the Warriors, everyone was like really, really incredible.
Yeah.
And then this week, it seems like, and we had this with the Broncos, when we're poor, everyone seems to fall apart at the same time. We don't have, you know, a couple of guys that are lagging behind, but we can push through. So it's like everyone just kind of turns to mud a little bit. I think that's probably the next step for Fitz to fix that.
So you need in that moment a Hines, a Moylan, like one of the big guys to step up and say, come on, let's go. And I mean, these players have that in them to do it. You're right. But maybe they need a tap. I mean, that's what I was sort of hinting at with Blake Brayley. It's, he's got all the skill in the world.
And he was very quiet, wasn't he?
He was quiet, yeah. So, you know, just run more, just provide a bit more spark and attack specifically. And who knows where it may lead to. One we're going to try and forget about, Josh, that's for sure. We need to analyze the losses. At the moment, my mindset with Cronulla this year is I want to forget about the losses once we moved on during the week. Like, I don't think about the Brisbane game. I don't want to look back until we have to. I just want to focus on the wins, focus on the positives, and try and fix the other issues we have. But with this game against Canberra, I'm going to forget about it in a week, I reckon. Just, you know, put it out of my mind.
I think it was fair that we had a little bit of, not of a go at them, but I think it's good at times to
get
stuck in about some losses because...
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, like, from a personal mental point of view, I just want to let it go. I don't want to, like, think about it in 2 weeks and go, remember against Canberra? And it's like, no, I'm going to move on.
Well, I think I've gotten better at that in older age too, is letting losses go.
Yeah, but no, you're right. We absolutely need to give them stick where we're warranted. That's what this pod's about. You know, praise when they're good and not praise when they're not good. So that won't be changing. While I got you, Josh, let's just run through a little bit of news. There's not a whole lot around. We do know that you and a bunch of other fans, you're Jersey people. You love jerseys. The Sharks have launched a Indigenous jersey for this year. It was created by an Aboriginal graphic designer and artist, Elaine Chambers Hegarty, and they're going to play that in Indigenous round. Sorry, they're going to play in that in the Indigenous round against the Roosters in a couple of weeks. So all reports are that it's pretty good. Like, everyone likes it. You like it, Josh?
I love it. Looks great.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I agree. So great stuff by the club to keep the jerseys rolling out. All New Jersey people are very happy this year. I have someone writing to me, who I won't name, who is torn about whether to buy this jersey only because they've already bought so many this year to justify it within the budget, et cetera, et cetera. But I told that person just to go for it. Because I think that's what they wanted me to say. So anyway, Jersey Flegg had, I think they had the week off last week, but they're traveling to Melbourne on Sunday. They're playing at Casey Field, 2:00. And I do want to give a shout out to a bunch of people on the Facebook as a group of specifically Victorian Sharks fans. Anyone's welcome to join, but they're a very passionate mob. Very, very forward thinking for the Facebook. I'll say that they're a good bunch. And shout out to those guys and girls. And maybe you can get down to the game if you're in the area. The Harvey Norman women's team had the week off. They're playing at Shark Park this week on Saturday, 3:00. They are 2-1. So hopefully they can get the W. And probably most importantly for this show, given the connections to the first grade team, Newtown Shark Jets will play the Mounties at Henson Park. They're in second place. That is on Saturday. And they are 7-2, Josh, with a bunch of guys that we know playing in that team, you would think. Any signing stuff we have to talk about, Josh? We've got rumours about Britton Nakora, Jack Williams, Hamlin Ueli. I believe they've all, I think the term is verbally agreed, but that won't be announced until they've signed on the dotted line, given what's happened in the past. Who is the, who am I thinking of? Who's the chap that really...
Cade Snowden.
Cade Snowden, my boy, Cade Snowden. So until that's on the dotted line, they won't be announcing that. But it is looking like Britton, Jack, and thankfully Hamlin Ueli will be re-signing.
Pretty happy across the board there. I mean, as we've discussed before, for me personally, is a little up and down. And whether he stayed or didn't go, I was kind of happy either way. But I guess it's always kind of good to see him sign on. And probably from the reported number, probably a little too much money for my liking. But, you know, edge back rowers, I guess, in a system can do a job, and if Fitz likes him enough and all that sort of jazz, and I'm happy. Braden, I'm obviously stoked about. That's the big one for me.
Yeah, for sure.
And I mean, Jack's a good bench, does a good bench role. If he's happy to play that, I'm happy to keep him and continue that role. Hopefully he gets gets better soon, because he hasn't had the greatest year, but I still have, I'm still big on Jack. I still have a lot of faith in him to be a really good player for us. So
yeah,
fingers crossed he gets that contract signed and gets his shoulder right and we can see the best of him in the back end of the year.
Yeah, the big talking one for a lot of supporters will be Britton Nakora. Some people are a bit 50-50 on him, or less so. I'm with you. I think if the coach wants to do it, then I'm happy for a bunch of these younger guys to stick together. He has been part of the system for a while. He's come through with a lot of the players that are going to be in first grade. On a good day, he's pretty effective. On a bad day, he's not the worst I've ever seen. So, yeah, money-wise, I mean, for the guy, I'm happy that he gets whatever he gets. But I think that I'd probably be paying a little bit under what the rumors are and the speculation. But we'll see what happens there. That's still to be confirmed, the payday. So we'll see where we go with that. And there's a bunch of other guys off contract, which we'll be getting to in the coming months. We will talk about it in the letters section, probably a very high profile current captain who's off contract. But Josh, let's have a little break and we will come back and get to the mail of the listeners. And this is Sharkcast Pod, brought to you by Dyson Logistics, the Royal Motor Yacht Club in Port Hacking, and Jason Hawes at Cripps and Cripps Real Estate. Back very, very soon. Dyson Logistics have been on board with Sharkcast since day one. And because of that and their excellent service, we are proud to be associated with them. Dyson Logistics provides tailored logistical solutions to meet your individual client needs and is set apart by its personalized service. Dyson is a strong worldwide agent network, enabling highly competitive rates. And I should also point out their head honcho is a lifelong season ticket holder of the mighty Cronulla Sutherland Sharks. Find them online, www.dysonlogistics.com, or call them on 02-8339-1844. Dyson Logistics, service delivered.
Blindside, here's Speechley. Docking's there as well. Docking's in a hole. Docking's over the quarter line. Docking caught from behind, but he's there, yes. Play a cry. Jonathan Docking.
The Royal Motor Yacht Club Port Hacking is a hidden gem of the Shire, situated on the banks of the beautiful Port Hacking. It's a great place to catch up with friends, celebrate your birthday or any special occasion, and they always show the NRL live on the big screens. They also have live acoustic music on weekends. Yachty's Bistro is open 7 days and nights for lunch and dinner, and they also do a phenomenal breakfast on weekends. If you mention Sharkcast, you get a free garlic bread, baby. The RMYC Port Hacking, proud sponsors of this podcast and big supporters of the Cronulla Sutherland Sharks. Check out their website, rmycph.com.au. They've got a Facebook page, or you could go old school and call them on 02-9523-9300.
Football.
On that note, welcome back to Sharkcast Pod. My name is Sam Shinazzi. I'm here with Joshua Bolling. Come to the letters, the mail section, communication from you listeners, which we appreciate so much. Sharkcastpod@gmail.com. On the socials at SharkcastPod, you can DM us. Josh, some topics we have already discussed, but they need more discussing because our listeners want to hear about them. Some are short and sharp. Some are a bit longer. Ash from Engadine, who we haven't heard from for a little while, sends us a short, sharp note saying, Trindle should absolutely never play first grade ever again. Woeful, he was embarrassing. Now, before you jump in, Josh, I'm just going to say, Ash, that is an exaggeration in my opinion only and a little bit over the top. Now, I respect your opinion. I'm glad to have your opinion on here. Send in whatever you like, whenever you like. Great to hear from you. But like we touched on in the first segment, it wasn't his fault we lost. He didn't have a good game. No denying that. Is he our answer at number seven? I don't know. Maybe he's not. But I didn't think he was embarrassing or woeful or get the old Shinaz never again stamp. So, Josh, what do you think?
Echo my sentiments. I mean, he was not good, no. But to never play first grade again or that he was, you know, embarrassing, I think that's a pretty big stretch, I thought.
I feel like Ash might have sent that in the heat of the moment during the game, which is great that he does that, and we're thankful to receive that. And maybe Ash has cooled down a bit So let us know, Ash, what your thoughts are moving forward. We do appreciate hearing from you. Hope you're well. Ash is a bit of a Jersey guy as well, I think, Josh. He a Jersey person, I should say. He's always online with different jerseys, looking for jerseys. You guys are mad about jerseys. Love jerseys. I like jerseys. I feel guilty that I don't like jerseys more than everyone else. Anyhow, that's my little Jersey rant. Speaking of jerseys, Michael has written to us, and he has a number of topics we can get through. He says, it's the second time this season we've looked bereft of a second idea when the first idea isn't working. Michael is suggesting that, for example, when we go for the old sweep play or something and it doesn't work, there's nothing else. Or just throw around like a hot potato, there's nothing else. Do you have any opinion on that, Josh?
I don't know if I agree with the whole second idea. I mean, there's only so many things you can kind of do in a game, right? Like, and at the end of the day, if you get the ball over the line, I don't care how it happens. So, like, there is a point there. Like, I know we do get frazzled when things don't work, but at the same time, sometimes teams just defend really well. Like, the Raiders had a lot to play for, and they aimed up, and we, you know, were clunky.
Do you think he's saying that we have our plan A in attack, which we've seen, which we kind of know how it works, and it is usually very effective? You take away Kennedy, it's less effective. I think he's saying in this game there wasn't a plan B.
Every team's got their pet plays and their set, you know, structures and everything. And, you know, I think we probably went away. I think maybe that's what Fitz was getting at, you know, Nico not playing the way that they wanted him to, whereas, like, maybe there were plays set and they just weren't executed. Maybe we had plan A and B and C and they weren't done, you know, like,
It's
hard to know these things, you know.
Good point. He says we're now 0-4 on the Sydney Trains Network. I know Sydney clubs need to be reminded of this weekly, but this is a national competition. Something's not right in the approach, you would have to say. We go home this week from Suncorp to go back to the Gold Coast this week coming. He's a bit amused by the fact that we've come home for the week as opposed to setting up camp up there. And that one's, that could be the player's call. It could be the coach's call. It could be everyone's preferred thing to do. Come home, be with your families, that kind of thing. We're not sure about that. I understand his point of view. But we are 0-4 out of Sydney, Josh. Is that a problem?
It could be, yeah. I mean, we've had these issues before where sometimes we've played really well away from home but couldn't win a game at home. And I don't know, is it just bad luck that we just happen to play a game like poorly away from home? I don't know. I guess in the grand scheme of the season, when we look back after 24 rounds, we'll see. But
yeah,
it's not great.
Yeah, you'd hope they win one this week against the Gold Coast for lots of reasons, but also to put that one to bed. He says, I thought Fitzgibbon got it flat wrong moving Hines. Trindle didn't have a positive involvement at all, and it messed up some of the already messed up structure. So a first big error for him in his coaching. He will learn. Having said that, there was no go forward in the first half. And even in the second, we looked flat as. So Michael's of the opinion, like we spoke about in the first segment, that it was a coaching error. Fitzgibbon was asked that in the presser, like we talked about, and he said he expected the team and individuals to play better. Tolman had a terrible game with ball in hand. He's the least effective ball runner in the competition.
Michael's angry.
he doesn't like losing. Tolman was ineffective. That can't be denied. And he's had a pretty good season, like we've spoken about on this pod before. He's had a really good season for his role and for the money he's on and everything put together. He's had a really good season, but he was found out pretty bad in a pack that wasn't going forward against a really good pack in Canberra. They found the older guy and really hammered him.
They went after him, didn't they? And they worked.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully he comes back bigger and better and he can get back on track to what has been a good season so far. And this is one we need to talk about. He said that Wade Graham was disappointing. He cramped the shapes, made errors, and looked off the pace for the second time in 3 weeks. He can't be on that edge. He needs to play like a middle role. I would not offer him a new deal based on this output. Thank you for everything, but his time has passed, in my opinion. So there's a few things there. He wasn't great last week, but the whole team wasn't great. He was pretty good against the Warriors. He has been named to play in his traditional edge role this week. You and I, Josh, think that he should be a middle. Michael is saying the same thing. As far as the contract goes for you, Josh, are you offering him a deal at all, or are you saying no?
I'm not completely opposed to a deal, but it's difficult. I'm probably not, is my answer. Unless if we can get in for like, let's say, like 200 max, like that's right. That's probably as much as I really would be downgrading that big time.
And that's as a middle reserve.
That's as a bench middle, possibly not even in the 17. For this year example, all fit, he wouldn't be in my team with no injury concerns.
So if he's not in your 17, you're not re-signing, surely.
I still think he's probably good to have around the traps and as a good backup because, as we can see, you can lose a lot very quickly with injuries.
But I guess I don't think Wade Graham's going to, and I'm just speaking from my opinion only, I don't think he's going to accept that. I think he'd be way more inclined to go, okay, you want me to be a middle from the bench? I can do that role. If there's injuries on the edge, I can feel that. I don't think he's going to be happy just to hang around with the boys.
No, I don't think he would either. But that's kind of where I'm at the moment.
Yeah.
Whereas potentially middle forward off the bench only, like I don't think he never starts for me with a fit team, no matter what, and possibly doesn't play every week. That's probably where I'd have him.
In your Fifita role this year?
Yes. Yeah, pretty much. Like not every week, might miss a game or two here and there, maybe 15 odd games a year. Like that's probably where I'm at for him. I don't know. Like it's just been a really quick downward spiral for me. And it's really disappointing and sad to say that because I love Wade, like one of the great all-time Sharks. But, you know, it's a team comes first.
Do you think if a team came to him, let's just say it's the Warriors or the West Tigers, someone lower on, or it could be anyone, it could be Melbourne for all I know. If someone came to him and said, we'll give you $250 a year and you'll be a bench player or you'll just be an edge guy, would he leave Cronulla for a year or two to take some money to keep playing football, or do you think he'd want to keep his Cronulla legacy?
Selfishly, I would hope that he wouldn't do that. And I think if he was going to leave, he'll go overseas, to be honest. I think he'll go live in France for a year or two with his partner. That's where I think he will go. But I don't know. I mean, I get the sense that he thinks he's got plenty left in the tank. The way he speaks and everything, I feel like he's got more to offer.
The other thing is, do you think that it's only been 3 weeks back and he's thinking about when he's 10 weeks back and in better physical condition? And
for sure. And he keeps alluding to that as well, like in the interviews. And
that's not unreasonable.
No. And like, I'm still fully giving him that chance. I'm just saying, I guess, from what I've seen, not just from this year, but kind of in the last 2 to 3 years, I've been noticing it more and more. And that, like, you know, you got to remember this guy was playing when he was 17. Like he's 32, but he's really like 34, 35 body wise.
I think people who don't watch the team week in, week out super closely, like all of our listeners and you and I think that they see Wade like he's still Origin Wade. He's still premiership winning Wade. Whereas we see him as being a bit more mature, a few more errors, a few more missed tackles. Still really great in his day, but he's a different player. And that's Mother Nature. We get that. We will be talking about it though, Josh, until something happens because it's going to become a story.
He's out of contract this year, right? This is his last contracted year?
I'm pretty sure. Otherwise, I'm making a big hoopla over nothing. I'm pretty sure he is, yeah.
As far as I'm aware, it is, but...
Well, let's just say we're right, just so people think we know what we're talking about. Michael also says that I've lost the ability to speak. Nakora doesn't do enough for a guy allegedly getting an extension. Make 100 meters. Come on. The starting rotation was flattened by the Raiders pack. We'll now be without Dale, Hamlin, Ueli, and Williams. What do you do? We're down big men, and the big men we have can't sustain the minutes required. Hunt, Pele, and Fifita are basically different versions of the same thing. Thin on the ground, a confidence-denting loss. Oh, boy, Michael's taking this one hard. He's spot on, though. We're going to talk about it in team news. The pack is not in the best shape, so we'll discuss that shortly. Next up, someone who's also pretty good with a hot take is Alan, the Philippine Connection. And he says, I've been a Shark supporter since 1965, which is before you were born, Josh. And that's when they were in the second division as Cronulla Caringbah. He says, I don't let outside influences or noises interfere with my assessment of the games. And I stand by my statements until proven wrong, which is quite often, as he says. I'm expecting a lot of flack from you and your supporters.
but so be it. He wants to talk about the Hines at fullback situation, and he has stated on record that he wasn't a fan of that, and he wanted to pick Cade Dykes, Josh.
Right.
And the reason he wanted to do that, because he doesn't like players playing out of position. He also saw the Jets had a bye and that Dykes seemed to be the logical choice considering his current form. So after the Raiders debacle, he thinks Fitzy should sit down with Miko and explain to him that he shouldn't read all the media hype about himself and realize that he's just as good a club half and not the world beater they make him out to be. And there are 12 other talented players in the team who have jobs to do, so give them the ball, he's highlighted. Allen's takeaway here is he wants players to play in their true positions, and he thought Dyke should have been picked. Now, let's talk about that for a second, Allen and Josh. Completely with you on picking guys in their positions when you can. Cade Dykes is an outstanding talent, but he's not ready.
No.
He's super young and super raw and really a great talent and a big guy for his age and everything else. You know, his dad's got the genes, but to throw him in at fullback right now is super risky for the club and it's super risky for him as a player developing. So that is why it didn't happen, Alan. As far as Nico goes, I think you're a little bit off the money about him reading media hype about himself. I think that he just had a bad game, a game where he just didn't play the role he was given. And this week, you'll see him play a much better game. I understand what you're saying. He's hogging the ball, et cetera, but as Josh alluded to, he just feels like he's got to carry the team. And maybe he doesn't need to carry the team like he thinks to. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe that's Alan's point. Yeah, he's got some other hot takes here. He says that for the next game, with the unavailability of the players that are unavailable, he'd bring in Iroh for Talakai and put Talakai on the bench. He would drop Graham, who's out of form, and he'd bring in Fifita. And he says, there, that should stir the pot. Now, there's no need to stir the pot, Alan. This is a friendly podcast. You say what you want, but don't feel like you need to stir anything. Thank you so much for your correspondence. Very nice email from Tony. Tony says, g'day, Sam and Chuck. Casters. Pleased to see Fitz to see the error of his ways, putting Nico straight back to number 7. There's some praise there for Rolls-Royce Hunt and Lockie at fullback getting his chance. He does say, unfortunately, that bench looks a little bit underwhelming. So, more importantly, Josh, wanted to quickly say thank you for the shout-out last episode concerning the Sutherland Relay for Life. Both Mel and I have been involved in organizing this for over a decade, so when she was invited to open the event this year, it confirmed how special it was for us. Now, Mel is Tony's partner. To think Mel has beaten cancer incredibly for the second time is awe-inspiring. Very pleased to report she's feeling much better and started a journey towards a full recovery. Keep up the awesome work. He does say it's the best podcast going around. Up, up. Thanks, Tony, and love to Mel. That is incredible news, and we are so, so happy for you guys. So onward and upward. Evan says, very disappointing loss. We looked absolutely lost, not top four quality from us. Our campaign has taken a bit of a hit with Ueli, Kennedy, Ramian, and now Finucane out. Finucane. Not sure what the game plan was, but it looked like Hines was playing fullback, halfback, 5'8", lock, hooker, water boy, coach, assistant coach, and trainer. Love to hear your thoughts. Hope you're feeling better. Thank you, Evan. I didn't notice the overplaying of Hines until I looked at the mailbox, I got to admit. I realized he wasn't fantastic. But did you notice that, Josh, watching the game?
Yeah, I did. I'm not saying I'm better than you for seeing it. I mean,
yes, you are. You are saying that.
I have noticed it just sporadically throughout the year. He is a bit hoggy. And I think we all know that. He was like that at Melbourne too. Like he loves having his hands on the ball. And it's good. You want your good players to want the ball like that. But yeah, I think it was probably the worst it's been so far this year was in the two bad losses was Brisbane and Canberra. And yeah, on the weekend it was a lot. And it was kind of getting frustrating. So I can see why the mailbox is full, everyone's saying the same thing, you know, like
yeah.
Just you got to give trust the other players. Give them some ball, like let them do something, like because and then it gets predictable. So
yeah.
Okay. I'm in a full agreement with Evan there.
Okay, Smitty says I don't I don't rate Trindle. I never have. We've got plenty of players that can play there. So I think you're saying, why'd you move Hines?
Yeah.
The biggest mistake the coach has done this year. Terrible. Totally wrong. Yes, Smitty, we've seen the error in the coach's ways. You don't rate Trindle. That's another one who doesn't rate Trindle. So there's a few now who are on that way of thinking. Steve says, 30 minutes into this game, and why can't we win at Suncorp Stadium? I don't have an answer for that one. I don't think Josh does either. I can remember some really nice wins there, but there's only a handful, and I guess that blocks out the badness. But it is our worst ground, I believe. I think we have a very bad record there. But
miserable place to go, I think, for us.
Actually, the wins have come in more recent times. It's been like 3 in the past 7 or something, but... I'm not sure, Steve. I don't know. Is it the big occasion, the big stadium? I don't know. Are they having breakfast at the wrong place? I don't know. Terry says, awesome interviews on the pod last week with Dale and Matt. It was nice to get in my car after work today and hear another Sharkcast podcast. Thank you, Terry, for your support and your kind words. Much appreciated. I think that might be everyone, Josh. If we missed anyone, we'll get to them in the next episode. And while we're here, we're just going to roll into the preview, I think. Josh, that's 4 p.m. Sunday at Robina, Cbus Stadium, Gold Coast. We play the Titans. Our team is notably different with Lachlan Miller making his Shark debut, his NRL debut, at fullback. So that's pretty exciting and a little bit of the unknown there. We might be getting more mail either way, depending on how he goes. Connor Tracy stays in the centres. Nico Hines moves to the halves. Royce Hunt has a starting spot. And Wade Graham has gone back to number 12 with McInnes at lock. So your bench, immediate bench, is Tolman, Trindle, Wilton, and Fifita. Tolman, Trindle, Wilton, and Fifita. Extended bench of Cade Dykes, Tommy Hazelton, Luke Metcalf, Moini Harodi, Jaden Beryl, and Jesse Colhoun, as well as Jonah Lualua. I'm led to believe a bunch of those guys, they're just there to make up the numbers, so to speak, respectfully. Doesn't mean the team won't change. Lockie Miller, we cool with that?
Super excited. I mean, it's always cool when anyone debuts for the club. So, I mean, it is a huge unknown. It could be an absolute shambles and we could be screaming at our TVs on Sunday, or like I hope that he has a blinder and he scores 2 tries and we win the game. But I'm just excited to see him, see how he works. We've heard a lot about it, so it's time to, and good on him. Like, he took the risk of coming here on, probably less money than what he was getting at Rugby Sevens, and he's looking at him like he's going to play NRL. No one can take this away from him. It's like, touch wood that he gets through the week. So, yeah, it's really exciting.
Yeah, and he's going to be on his toes. He's got Jaden Campbell, AJ Brimson, Toby Sexton. They don't mind a kicking, attacking opportunity. He'll be tested out for sure, regardless. Quick as lightning. Very professional is the word they keep telling me. Very professional in how he goes about things. His maturity and his professionalism got him across the line as opposed to... Who am I looking at here?
Metcalf.
Luke Metcalf, yep. And also his experience over Cade Dykes as well. So he was the logical one to put in. It's not suggesting that he's necessarily a better player out of the three, as far as like rugby league skills go, but he's the one that as a team would fit best. That's the word that I've got.
He's earned it.
And other things that people don't necessarily think about, like who is the team going to be most comfortable with coming into their on-field environment? Is it going to be Young Dykes? Is it going to be Luke Metcalf? Is it going to be Lachlan Miller? And I think Miller getting the tip there tells you the answer to that he's the one in the inner circle who they probably went, let's give him a shot. Come on. And he's got a lot of crazy skills, like particularly around speed, but just his passing skills and that kind of thing. They're pretty flashy if he's given the chance.
You've got to remember as well, in the post-match press conference the weekend, Fitz said that Luke Metcalf hasn't trained at fullback all year. So they're not just going to throw him in because we're desperate when Lockie Miller's right there and has been training there and has been playing there in reserve grade. So,
and doing really well too. So it's a big step up. And, I've got the feeling that you will see an error here or there, but I feel like there's potential you're going to see some magic as well.
Yeah, I hope everyone gives him a chance and he doesn't get beat around if he has a couple of errors or does something wrong or doesn't pass a ball. Like,
I think what Fitzgibbon and a few other people are hinting at is that if he does, he'll be able to handle it. Now, yep. You don't know how Cade Dykes is going to handle that. And Luke Metcalf, we've seen a little bit of, but still pretty inexperienced. Whereas yep. This guy's a little bit older in age and has more experience on
big
on
stages.
On a bigger stage. Yeah, exactly. So
play the Olympics.
So, yeah, we'll see how it goes. It's going to be exciting either way. We both are against Wade Graham starting this week over Teague Wilton.
I can't believe that. I honestly can't believe that.
It could change, Teague, of course. It could change.
I mean, I really hope so. Teague has had, what, 9 really great games and 1 average game, and he gets dropped. Doesn't sit right with me.
Thankfully, like a lot of the guys in our team, average or bad Teague is a 6.5 to 7. He's not losing your games or anything.
No. I mean, he missed a couple of tackles. Yeah, like...
So we'll see what happens. At this stage, that's where he's named. Fitzy doesn't really play mind games, so I'm getting the feeling that the team you see is the team you see, but
yeah,
we will see what happens with Wado. The bench of Tolman, Trindle, Wilton, and Fifita. I mean, for me, the highlight is Wilton. I think coming off the bench, at least he'll be fresh and ready to go. I mean, the Trindle thing, is that because they're worried about Miller, maybe?
Must be. It has to be.
Yeah.
It's the only thing. He's going to be cover for if something goes wrong. Because Lockie was under an injury cloud as well. So maybe there's just a little bit of insurance there as well if Hines has to go back there.
And Andrew comes in. He's the big body. He's the experience. Yeah. He's the prop. I mean, hopefully. I mean, he played big minutes against, was it the Warriors? He played much bigger minutes. So
no, I think he played quite, he only played 13 minutes against the Warriors. Like, it was quite small.
Was it against...
There was a game, yeah. There was a game where he played about 30, 40 minutes or something, yeah.
So he's sort of got it in him now. So he'll have to do that, I think. Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
that bench rotation's a concern. Like, that, Toby and Royce are going to have to play big minutes. And does Wade shift into the middle with T coming on? Like, I'm really, like, at a loss as to what the rotation's going to be and how it's going to work. I'm assuming Tolman's going to play 60 minutes probably.
Look at their forward pack, and it's more than decent. And even their bench is pretty big. So
Lasone, SASA, McIntyre, yeah, like they're not small guys.
This could be another huge challenge for our pack, and if we don't step up, you might see the same results. So we'll see.
The side itself, that Titan side itself is not great, but the forward pack is good enough to get them across the line, sort of thing.
Yeah, the forward pack is their strength, absolutely. I mean, for all the talk about AJ Brimson, to a much lesser extent, Toby Sexton, the halves have not been good. Campbell at fullback's pretty flashy and can be dangerous. But yeah, the forward pack is where it's at, and if we don't control that, then we could be in for a bit of hurt. Yeah. I can tell you that we've won the past 6 matches against them, Josh, which is great. 2 of the past 3 have been our biggest wins against them. 30-point win in 2020, 28-point win last year. We've won the past 2 and 4 of 8 matches at Robina. We're busting the most tackles. They're missing the fewest tackles, so they'll be good in defense, you know, statistically speaking. It's going to be an interesting one, Josh, and I'm a little bit nervous, I've got to tell you, about this game. I just think because the Titans can score some points. They've been a bit off lately scoring their points, but we know that they can do it through their forwards going forward. And they've been a bit lucky as well, you know, winning last-minute games, that kind of thing. So I hope it's not an arm wrestle or anything. I hope we can just dominate and win. I think that would be most pleasing for me. I'll take any win at this point. Yeah, what are your thoughts on the game? What do you think is going to happen?
I like same sentiments as you with the Titans. Like, part of my French, they can score an arsey try here and there. Like, you know, they're just one of those teams that, you know, like a little crappy kick just bounces the right way and they fall over the line and it's under the post, so it's 6. And
yeah,
they're just one of those teams. And they'll up to Barjo, like Jared Wallace last week, just to fall over the line. Like, they're one of those kind of teams. Not going to score like those brilliant, great tries that like we do or Melbourne or Penrith. Like, they're the Sharks of, you know, 2015, 14, the drag you down cliche stuff. So if we're up for that and we can get our shape on and get our ball movement and play the way we want to play, I think we still should win, but there's a hint of doubt there. I'm a little worried. If we can just get snag a win here, get Will back next week and get Jesse back after that, see where we're at with the forwards, get the season back on track.
Yeah, I guess for me, and I keep harping on about it, the big challenge here is the forwards, because just on paper and what we know about both teams this year, like, it's a little worrying. I just had looking at that pack just now when I was reading out to you and you were reading out to me. Yeah. It's that's a little concerning. Toby needs to lift. I'm not putting it all on him, but I think he has to have a really big game. He has to step up,
yeah,
draw a line in the sand, show us that he's what we think he can be.
It's the kind of game where he needs to pull out like 140 meter kind of game, you know, and really like take it to him.
Yeah. And, you know, even, I mean, Britton Nakora, who's not a meter eater, but he's got it in him. Like, I've loved it this year when he's run direct. I know he's all about the angles. I get that. When he runs direct, he's a pretty powerful runner. He's got that,
yeah,
that physicality that we don't really talk about, but he can make you 15 meters run. And I think that they're going to need everyone to do it. Everyone's going to have to get the meters this year and this week, I should say. And I think the kicking game will be a lot better with Nico at seven. So that'll help as far as where we play on the field. So that'll be a great advantage this week we didn't have last week. Hopefully Miller can do something spectacular. You know, I think it'll be a feel-good story and it'll pick us up a little bit. And
gamble responsibly, but I'll be on him for a try.
Well, the hot tip is a double. That's the hot tip.
Oh, yes. But we did.
another shark caster kind of threw at us. Josh, thanks for your time today, man. I know it's been a bit crazy the way we've done this and everything that's going on in the world, but appreciate your time. Good to see your smiling face. And just give me a score and who's going to win.
Let's go a bit of a grind fest, maybe like a 16-10, bit of a tight one.
Ugh.
Sharks win. Come on, baby.
Is that an exciting match to watch or a stinky? Stinky one?
It's going to be stinky. Yeah, I think it's going to be stinky.
All right. I'm going to say Sharks 26, Titans 16.
I'll take that. I could live with that.
Yeah, I could live with it too. Thank you so much to our listeners for your support over the months and over the years. Appreciate it. Keep writing your letters to us. We love it. We will talk to you very soon. Stay safe. Enjoy yourself. And we will speak to you again. Up, up.
Sharkies!
Turn your porch lights off because we're coming home with a trophy.
Sharkcast is supported by the best and most honest real estate agent in the Sutherland Shire, Jason Hawes from Cripps & Cripps Real Estate. He's an expert in the Currumbarra region and has his eye all across the Shire. Lifelong Sharks fan and supporter of this podcast, if you're looking to buy or sell in the region, the person you need to be talking to is Jason Hawes from Cripps & Cripps Real Estate. Call him on 0410 417 450. That's 0410 417 450. Jason Hawes, Cripps & Cripps Real Estate.